I'm Belinda Flores-Hernandez, and I'm with the University of Texas School of Public Health. Unfortunately, I do not have a keep it real theme to my presentation, but nonetheless, now that we've heard about these great programs, I'm going to talk to you about how do we get these programs implemented in schools, because we know for some of us who do work with schools that this can be a challenge. So hopefully with this model, I can kind of give you ideas and help you in that process. And I have nothing to disclose. So again, just giving a really brief background information on why teen pregnancy, why it's a problem. We know compared to other developed countries, the U.S. still continues to have a very high teen birth rate. It's actually at 41 per 1,000 teen girls. And we know that there's certain states that have even higher rates. So for example, from Texas, where I'm from, it's the third highest teen birth rate, and it's at a rate of 63 per 1,000. And like the previous presenters have said, that students begin to engage in sexual activity in early ages. By the time they reach the 12th grade, nearly 60% of them have had sex. Depending on what state you're in, this can be a little bit higher. Closer to 70% of students say that they have sex by the time they reach the 12th grade. This was a slide from the CDC to kind of give us a general idea of what types of sexual health programs are being implemented across the states. So these are the percent of schools that are reporting to have talked about condoms in a required course. And so you see what's in darker blue are those states that are reporting less than 50% of their schools are teaching about condoms in a required course. And then in the lighter colored states, you have closer to 50% or more saying that they're talking about that. So it gives us an idea of what types of sexual health programs are being implemented. We know there is this debate on what's the best approach to that. So this just kind of gives us an idea of what's happening. So why are teachers or schools, why is sexual health programs not being implemented? And so we know there's many barriers to that. So some of them is the lack of knowledge of what evidence-based programs are, the lack of knowledge of where to find evidence-based programs. There's also this perceived lack of support from both the administrators and the teachers as well. You know, there's teachers have this fear of some negative reactions from the administrators, and administrators have this fears from parents as well, that parents are not supportive. But we see through the literature and through all of the polls and research that's been done that a lot of parents, majority of parents, support sexual health education and want schools to actually do more. There's also this lack of sexual health training and being comfortable about talking about the subject. But we often find, too, in our work, in the area that we're at, there's also this lack of guidance on how best to approach the issue. So, again, depending on your school district and where you're at, it can be a very controversial topic, and they're just not too sure how best to approach it while minimizing that controversy. So that was sort of the goal of this project as well. So, there's current adaptation models and implementation models that are out there right now that we know of, but they target communities rather than schools, and they stress adaptation versus replication. And so the adaptation process can be a very long process to do it effectively, and it may not be realistic for schools to do. They just don't have that time to make the appropriate changes, do the pilot test, and so it's not really realistic. Also, the current models do not address the unique issues that schools are challenged with. So for a community organization, they may have the challenge of recruiting youth and engaging youth into their programs, but for schools, their challenge is to actually get the program, to actually be able to implement the program in their school. So we saw this lack of guidance out there in the literature. So the current project, our goal is to develop a systematic framework to facilitate the adoption and implementation process. And so we really wanted to be able to create and empower these champions for adolescent sexual health education in school settings. To do that, we use the core processes of intervention mapping. So pretty much what intervention mapping is, it's just a systematic way to develop interventions. And so our model development occurred in four phases. During the first phase, it was the knowledge acquisition phase, and so that was sort of our needs assessment phase. So what we did literature reviews, but we also conducted in-depth interviews with a lot of the key decision makers in districts, so from superintendents, school board members, principals, teachers. We also did some observations as well, so we visited school board meetings when discussions about sexual health education were taking place. We also looked at, in Texas, we have school health advisory councils, and they're charged with recommending sexual health programs to the school board. So we would visit those shacks to see when sexual health was being discussed, to look at the decision-making process. So that was all during our needs assessment phase. The second phase was the knowledge engineering, and so that's part of the intervention mapping process. So we developed behavioral objectives, and so those were the objectives or the outcomes that we would expect to see once someone follows this model. We also developed the performance objectives, and so those were the detailed steps that someone would have to take in order to achieve those behavioral objectives. After doing that, the third phase was the knowledge representation phase. So it's just organizing those behavioral and performance objectives into a systematic way so that someone can follow and to facilitate the process. And our final phase was the knowledge validation. And so what we did, once we had the model, we took it to our community, and we have a school health leadership group that includes representatives from 22 of the school districts in our surrounding area. And so they're kind of district wellness coordinators, sexual health teachers. And we took the model to them and presented to them to see if it was something that was realistic and feasible. And they all gave us really positive feedback and felt that it was something that was really helpful to them. So this is the model. This is the resulting model. It's the CHAMPS model. It's choosing and maintaining programs for sex education in schools. It has four phases: the assessment, preparation, implementation, and maintenance phase. And there's seven steps within those phases. A district can enter the model at any point depending on their level of readiness, because we recognize that every school district is different. And sometimes some districts may have to revisit certain steps in the model if they're encountering some challenges. So that's why it's kind of in the circular pattern. At the center of the model, which is kind of a really key component of this, is what you see in green is getting others on board. And that's sort of the advocacy piece that's missing in a lot of the current models that are out there. And we feel that's really, really important step at each step of the model, is to get that support so that you can accomplish that step. And so I'm going to talk in detail about each of the steps. The first step is to prioritize, and we found this through our needs assessment. Certain school districts were unaware of the problem or unaware of the magnitude of the problem in their school district. And so for us, we encourage that school districts really recognize that it is a problem and it is a priority. And so one of the things that we encourage is our school health advisory councils is to make it an agenda item, a standing agenda item during the year, that this is something that they are wanting to talk about and they're wanting to make decisions on programs to recommend. The second step is the assessment phase for a school district. And so, again, it's helping them identify their target population. Because, again, we found that a lot of school districts were kind of overwhelmed, wasn't sure where to start, what grade to start sexual health education. And for school districts, too, that are limited in their resources, this is really, really helpful for them to identify where the problem areas or priority areas. What we did was present maps to the school district of the teen birth rates localized by the zip codes. And then we found that to be really, really helpful for schools in helping them understand where their priority areas. At this step, it's also a good opportunity for school districts to gauge their district and parent support for sexual health education, because, again, there was this miscommunication between parents and schools, and, you know, parents are supportive, but a lot of the school staff are fearful, or, you know, they think that they're not. So at this step, we encourage schools to really get to know their parents and to get their ideas on their beliefs and support for sexual health education. The third step is the select phase. So again, that's pretty self-explanatory, where they select an evidence-based program that meets their target population and their goals. At this point, we encourage the School Health Advisory Council, this is where they would select a program but write a recommendation letter that they would then present to the school board. So that's kind of sort of the main outcome that you would get out of this step, is that formal recommendation. The fourth step is the approval step, and we recognize that this can be a challenge for a lot of school districts, and it can be a long process. So we recognize that, but at this point, this is where the SHAC would present their recommendation letter to the school board, and we find that it's helpful when there are parents there at that presentation or talking to school board members. We found that to be a really effective strategy for schools. Once it becomes approved, then it becomes really important for the school district to notify teachers at the school level and school staff at the school level, because through our needs assessment, we found, you know, one of the barriers on why teachers weren't implementing or teaching sexual health education was because they weren't sure what programs they could use. And so this becomes really important that that approved program kind of gets disseminated down to the school level. The fifth step is the preparation step, and this is where a school district would develop a really comprehensive implementation plan. And we really encourage schools to really have it really comprehensive, and the goal is to identify what are those barriers that would prevent the program from being implemented, and then to develop a plan to overcome those barriers. So that's sort of the major goal for this step. Of course, we recognize, too, that there might have to be some modifications of the program depending on different little schools to help that implementation process. So we encourage that if that would help the implementation process, but we definitely try to encourage to avoid any major modifications that may affect the core elements of the program. The sixth step is the actual implementation part, and so this is where the schools would implement the program and implement it with fidelity, and hopefully if they created a comprehensive implementation plan, they would be able to achieve that. We also encourage schools to collect this process data, so getting kind of at the number of classes that receive the program, the number of students that are participating, any changes that were made to the curriculum. All of this will help in the next step, which is maintenance, to advocate for the continued use of the program through the decision makers and also potentially to funders as well. And then step seven is the maintain part. So again, evaluating the program, which we recognize may not be feasible for all school districts, but if a district can do that, we highly encourage it, because again, it can help them in advocating for the continued use of the program to decision makers and potential funders. And at this step, this is too where we encourage schools to identify areas where you can make quality improvements to it so that it can be sustained in future years, and to develop a comprehensive maintenance plan that should be similar somewhat to the implementation plan. The final step is the getting others on board. Again, a key component and core at the models. It ensures that the district personnel have the adequate support to carry out all of the action steps during each phase. So some of the tips that we recommend is for school districts is to address the myths and misconceptions that are out there, because there's many myths and misconceptions about sexual health education. So, for example, talking about sex is not going to make a student go out and have sex. So we encourage schools to really address those myths early on in the process. A second tip is to present solutions to the problem, because again, it can be overwhelming if they don't know what those solutions are. We encourage whoever that health advocate is to present the solutions to the problem. And then the third tip is to bring allies with you. So an ally can be a parent to another teacher on any of the steps of the model, is to bring allies with you when you're advocating for the sexual health program. This is a summary of the model to kind of show you how all the steps lay out, and I have a copy of this, a few handouts here. If anyone's interested, you can come see me afterwards, and I can most certainly give you a copy of that if you like. And so some of the future directions of the CHANCE model, this is part of a larger project, and so the idea is we're going to take this and make it an interactive online web-based decision support system. So it's going to be an interactive version of the CHANCE model. On there will be tools and resources that school districts will be able to use. So there'll be templates, fact sheets, localized birth data. There's also going to be demonstration videos. Once we have it developed, we'll do some usability and feasibility tests will be conducted. The plan is to also do an outcome evaluation to determine the impact on program adoption and implementation and maintenance. So once we do that, we'll be making some changes needed to the program if need be, to the model. So in conclusion, teen pregnancy, we recognize, can be a complex and at times a controversial issue for school districts, but hopefully using this model, it helps simplify the process a little bit and makes it a little more realistic. So we're hoping that if you use this model, the schools will be able to increase their adoption and implementation of evidence-based programs. Yeah.